Hey, Ryan, since you're not going to the game, where are you planning on watching the Wildcats?
I'll be stuck at the office, but I wish I could be lounging at home in front of my TV.
Yeah, me too. I've been thinking about getting like a big comfy recliner from Sam Levitt's Furniture.
Ooh, stylish.
Sam Levitt's Furniture has specials on a wide selection of recliners, so you can watch the game in style. You can check out a bunch of options at their Tucson locations. I'm thinking of getting one with swivel action.
Ooh.
But I kind of like the one I saw with cup holders.
Well, while Justin makes up his mind about which recliner he likes best, let's talk some sports.
From the Arizona Daily Star and Tucson.com, this is the Wildcast.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Wildcast Podcast, episode 76. As always, I'm Justin Spears here with Dominic Pacheco and also a first-time guest on the basketball version of the podcast, the legend himself, Greg Hansen. Oh,
you know, I loved how you pronounced Dominic's name so well.
we've done a couple of these, right?
It took some time. Believe me, it took about four or five different takes on the first time we ever did it.
You didn't say Biagio?
Probably the very first time you said it, I couldn't even. I can't remember. But there's no way you got it right the first time, unless you had just heard it enough. Maybe by the first time you had to say it.
And here with me is Dominic Pacheco. Oh, we gotta stop.
You let me introduce the first.
Go ahead and say your name, man.
The B man.
Dominic B. All right. So Arizona takes on UCLA this Thursday at 8 o'clock on ESPN. Greg, UCLA hasn't had the year that everybody expected them to have, and again, they lost three players earlier this year from the China Gate, I guess that's what you can call it, or Louis Vuitton Gate.
We got a name for it now.
and those were three players they weren't expected to, or I don't think they were going to have huge impacts on UCLA, but they were rotational players. They were bodies. So UCLA, a middle of the pack, Pac-12 team. Arizona is now the only Pac-12 team ranked. Greg, is this probably the weakest Pac-12 conference you've seen in recent years?
I would say that, but then I remember when Cal won a couple of titles, like 2011, 2009, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It was right after Lute had left. And Ben Howland was blowing up. The league was bad for a couple of years, really bad. And before that, you got to go back to the mid-80s. So, yeah, I think this kind of is closing in on those Cal years.
And even with Arizona as the top dog, as the number one school that everybody's chasing right now,
starting to mean less and less, too.
You look at them, I would say that USC has potential to beat Arizona this week. And if that were to happen, they're pretty much in the driver's seat, because Arizona had a chance to really solidify themselves with a win over Washington, and they couldn't do that. So UCLA is pretty much hanging on by a thread, or USC. Mm-hmm. And if USC were to beat Arizona this week, then, man, you're looking at Arizona being the best team in the Pac-12, and they're, what, number 20 in the country after that?
You know, I told you guys this earlier today. If this series was being played in L.A. this week, I think there'd be a real threat Arizona loses both games. I know UCLA is not the team, you know, we thought they'd be competing for the Pac-12, even though they still are. They're still in the race. The Pac-12's just kind of played down to their level this year, but USC is a really tough team. I don't see them coming into McHale and playing that well. Arizona has a way to kind of shake teams off like that once they walk into McHale, but we've seen UCLA do it last year, so, I mean, these teams aren't going to come into McHale afraid, that's for certain, and Arizona's just going to have to play well. Their defense has got to get going. Sean Miller this week, what was it, Monday, calling this the worst Arizona defense he's ever coached?
Possibly the worst defensive team. He wanted to make
possibly
sure he didn't hurt his players' feelings too much. But, I mean, you talk about them being so bad defensively, you have to go back to Miller's first year in 09-10 when Derek Williams was a freshman. You had a chubby Solomon Hill. Solomon Hill was and Momo Jones was the backup, and Nick Wise was probably the best player. He was the best player. Mm-hmm. Think about how many great teams Sean Miller's had since then. And now, or before the year, we talked about Arizona this year being the best team Arizona's ever put on a basketball court. And yet, defense is as worse as when Nick Wise was the best player.
We've come full circle.
I remember his first year, Jimmer Fredette scored 49 at McHale. BYU scored 99. He's never given up 100 in regulation here. And then Monday he says, we could give up 100 both games this week. So that's how out of it he is.
Yeah. And the two schools I look back at when you were saying that they could beat Arizona at home this week, you go back to the Colorado and Utah week when Colorado really exposed Arizona. Although Arizona pulled away, even though that they beat or Colorado beat Arizona on the road in Boulder, and then they come to Tucson, they gave Arizona some fits. And then Utah, it was a one-possession game with just a minute to play. And then all of a sudden, they had a little bit of controversy there at the end with the no, I'm thinking about the Oregon schools. But anyways, when they played Utah, it was a pretty close game.
Oh, it went to the last possession.
Yeah, exactly. So USC has athletes. UCLA has athletes. Could Arizona drop one at home this week?
Again, I just don't see it happen just because it's at home. This is by far the toughest homestand they'll have all year. I mean, I feel pretty safe in saying that. I think these are the only two schools in the Pac-12 that can give Arizona a run for their money at all, except for, I mean, obviously Colorado, but the only teams that could actually beat them. I just, you know, Schaumiller's teams have this habit of playing up and down, and they're never as good as we've seen them over the last seven games when they're on that winning streak. They've never played that well for the entire course of a season. So, Justin, you and I talked about it last week. We kind of expected Arizona to drop one or two of these kind of dud games where they don't necessarily play as well. They played really poorly against Washington in the first half, and that obviously put them at risk of losing the second half. It's just games like those that they're bound to have. Now that they had it, I kind of see them bouncing back and starting to play better basketball, but man, if they lose one of these games, they're in trouble the next couple weeks.
No team is better at bouncing back than Arizona after a loss.
Mm-hmm. It's almost too.
Like, especially at home, it seems like every time they've lost this year, the next two, three games right after that, it's a completely different switch. And then Dom and I are sitting here talking about, oh, well, is Arizona turning the corner?
Yeah.
And then they lose a game on the road.
Miller laid the groundwork with all the venom in his press conference on Monday, just like he did when they came back from Colorado.
And then won seven straight games.
Yeah. So I think the message probably got through. And Arizona, really, as Dominic said, doesn't lose games like this.
Mm-hmm. The one thing I'm looking forward to most with UCLA is the point guard matchup. Because you have Parker Jackson Cartwright, I think he's 5'8". He's listed as 5'11" on the roster, but I was standing behind him in line at Illegal Pete's one time, and me and him are at eye level, and I'm 5'8" on a good day. But UCLA also has a McDonald's All-American 5-star point guard with Jalen Hands, who made a SportsCenter top 10 play for between the legs alley-oop pass to another player. If I was a coach, I would have screamed at him because that's just highly
necessary.
It wasn't
a dunk. He had to lay it in.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
If it was a dunk, it would have been the best thing I'd seen all year.
But he has proven to be a premier point guard in the Pac-12. And Parker Jackson Cartwright matched up against elite point guards. You think about Colorado's McKinley Wright. How much of a struggle was it for Parker to match his intensity and match up with him defensively? Jalen Hands is a better point guard than McKinley Wright, personally. That's where I could see Arizona having some issues. Maybe Alonzo Trier will have more minutes at point guard against UCLA.
Well, if you think Arizona has defensive problems, how about UCLA? They don't guard anybody. Really? Watch them. Thomas Welsh. If Welsh and Ristic went one-on-one, they would both make 20 straight baskets because neither one plays defense.
So you're saying we're going to have a Thomas Welsh, Dusan Ristic shootout?
Welsh, if you leave Welsh open, and they will.
They both put up 20.
Welsh will bury those 14-footers all night.
On the baseline. And he's had that Udonis Haslam baseline jumper.
Yeah.
He's definitely developed that.
It's got to be the first time he's been compared.
To Udonis Haslam. Dom, what's the matchup you're looking forward to? What's the X factor?
Honestly, I mean, who's Welsh going to be guarding? They're going to be down. I mean, down low on Ristich. I mean, if he has to switch to DeAndre Ayton, I mean, I see DeAndre Ayton feasting on that all night. Again, DeAndre Ayton's just got to stop being 7 feet tall, or he's going to get foul calls all night because Thomas Welsh, he's just going to go to work and he's going to get called for it. on the defensive end. But that'll be interesting. I mean, down low, what can UCLA do to stop DeAndre Ayton? Because in the end, that's the X factor of every Arizona game is what can he do?
Greg, you know the whatabouts or the whereabouts of officials in the Pac-12. Do you know who's going to be on call?
The school knows by now. They tell them 24 hours out, but they would never tell anybody else.
Okay.
The Pac-10 will not send a mediocre crew here for these two games. David Hall, okay, I'll bet you anything David Hall is at one of these games.
Okay.
And so will Vern Harris be at one of these games. Hmm.
David Hall, okay.
And maybe John Higgins is ready for his second tour through the league this week.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people have been talking about officials being too rough on DeAndre Ayton. He's 7'1". He plays like a guard. Is that it because of his size?
Absolutely. But look who he picked. You know, he got in foul trouble maybe three times in Pac-12 games so far. Mm-hmm. Look at the referees in those games that he got in foul trouble. They're the guys you see once a year that are not very good, the beginning refs. I think the veteran refs know how to do it with DeAndre.
Mm-hmm. You think refs are being too hard?
Being too hard, sure. I'm never one to complain about refs just because if you think they can do it, I mean, they're professionals and they should be doing a good job, but they're always going to have a bad game. And,
yeah.
I mean, when you have a guy like DeAndre Ayton, Greg said earlier today, they've never seen anything like DeAndre Ayton. We've never seen anything like DeAndre Ayton. So, I mean, he's bound to get some calls because he's 7 feet tall. I mean, that's just the nature of it, and Arizona's going to have to play around it because it's not changing anytime soon.
Man, it just feels like every time DeAndre Ayton does a post move where he even remotely lowers his shoulder.
Oh, it's annoying. I mean, watching it is frustrating because you want to see DeAndre Ayton do DeAndre Ayton things, and when refs prohibit the game like that, it gets under your skin as someone watching it. I can't even imagine what it's like being on the court.
The worst officiated game I can recall in the last year was the national championship game last year. Remember that? The Gonzaga North Carolina game.
Mm-hmm.
It was even the announcers who are usually vanilla were saying this isn't right. So you never know when they're just going to have a when the elements are wrong and mm-hmm. they have a bad night.
Mm-hmm.
You know what is right though? Greg Hansen always coming on our podcast.
Absolutely,
you are always welcome on our podcast, Greg. Right. We appreciate your insight and we just love everything, all your knowledge and everything you provide for us.
I thought there was that Raising Cane's was a sponsor. We're going to get something for
you. You have the nice Raising Cane's layout in here for you?
Man.
The setup?
That is the best thing to ever come to Tucson. Next to the EG's. Greg, we'll have to get Raising Cane's sometime.
Yeah, no kidding.
Let's make it happen. So as the legend himself walks out of this door, Greg Hansen, what a legend.
I always call him the in-house almanac at the Daily Star.
He is.
The guy knows everything.
He really is. Well, as the legend walks out, I guess this is probably a good time to hit up the Twitter mailbag.
Absolutely.
And Facebook mailbag questions.
Absolutely.
Okay, so the first...
You want to kick us off?
Yeah, let's do it. We're going to go ahead and start off with Facebook just because we only got one Facebook question. Again, if you don't follow us on Facebook, you should. Follow us, like us. We have an open inbox. We also have an open inbox on Twitter, so feel free to DM us for these mailbag questions if you don't.
We send out those tweets and posts, too. You can reply to those. That's the easiest way.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you can reply to it, but, you know, if you don't want your tweet out in the public, I guess you could.
Slide in our DMs.
Slide in our DMs. We are not afraid. I mean, of course, you know, we're going to announce your message eventually on the podcast.
You won't get on the podcast.
It won't be as private anymore, but you'll still get your question answered, or if you have a comment or concern, we'll still address it. So let's go ahead and go to Facebook to start off things. So this one comes from Habib Pierce Bird. He is an Arizona alum. He says, good morning. This question is coined from a U of A alum, a longtime follower of Arizona Athletics. My question is, what is the cause of defense lapses during stretches of ball games? Thank you.
Thank you, Habib.
Yeah, thank you, Habib. His question is, why does Arizona struggle defensively during points during a basketball game?
Mm-hmm.
And
for the first half of the Washington game, for instance?
My answer, I mean, I hate to sound like a coach here, but it's going to happen. Basketball is a game of ups and downs. You're going to have your peaks and your valleys during games. Okay. Even when you'll see a team blow out another team by 20, 30 points, there are a couple minutes during that game where the team might struggle a little bit. Very seldom do you see a team play 40 minutes of basketball from tip-off to the final buzzer of just pure juggernaut basketball. That very rarely happens.
Mm-hmm.
With Arizona and the defensive lapses, I mean, this, again, a repetitive narrative, it all goes with the bench. Bench scoring isn't good.
Mm-mm.
It really isn't good.
It's not fair for us to base the bench off that metric alone, yeah, which I hope we're not.
But also you think when DeAndre Ayton comes off the floor, mm-hmm, and he's a freak. I mean, whenever teams drive into the paint, his presence is felt. He's been more on top of blocking shots recently. Before, DeAndre Ayton was almost irrelevant when it came to being a shot blocker. But now he's starting to show that, hey, I can be Hakeem Olajuwon, a Dikembe Mutombo, or a Dwight Howard kind of player. But when they take him out of, mm-hmm, games and you have a player like Dusan Ristikin or Ira Leon, the defense takes a step back, and that's where you start to see those lapses in Arizona's defense struggle.
When you and I were talking about earlier with Greg is that this team doesn't have a Rondae Hollis-Jefferson coming off the bench where, okay, you might not be starting with your best five defenders on the court, but you got an awfully damn good one coming off the bench who's going to come in and lock down this team's, exactly, this team's bench and their rotation players. So
exactly,
that's the thing that's missing with this team. Sean Miller and the Wildcats obviously expected that to be Emmanuel Aycott early on in the year. That hasn't panned out for one reason or another. Ira Lee was also supposed to kind of be that offensive spark off the bench. Obviously, Brandon Randolph and Dylan Smith on the offensive side of the ball. But Arizona doesn't have a go-to defender right now. They won't the rest of the year. That's not just something that's going to – they're going to wake up one day and then have a lockdown defensive guy coming off the bench. It's going to be a problem throughout the year. So Arizona's going to have to learn to cope with it and play with it. And I think when we look at problems long-term moving forward, defense is obviously the biggest one.
Mm-hmm.
So since that was our only Facebook question, let's move on to the Twitter mailbag here.
Tweet.
Oh, this first one comes from Soccer Vegas Mom at Soccer Vegas Mom. I wonder if she's actually a Soccer Vegas Mom. You would figure, right?
A soccer mom that lives in Vegas.
How many players will be doing a one and done this year? DeAndre Ayton obviously will be gone.
No, really?
Believe it or not, the best player in possibly in college basketball will be entering the draft.
He's even told people, like,
yeah, like straight or in the Bahamas, like very early in the year, he made it clear that he's gone. DeAndre Ayton will be one of those names.
Oh, so we did a little kid ask him, "Are you going to be a one and done?"
Yeah, like asking, "Are you going to
the
NBA?"
He said,
yeah,
that's
yeah,
the that's, plan.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's well known DeAndre Ayton will be entering the draft. Of course, that goes without being said. Anyone else, Justin? I mean, this is a freshman class that we expected to be really good. I don't know how many one-and-dones were expected at the beginning of the year, but that's probably the only guy being drafted.
If you talk about one-and-dones, does it have to be the NBA? Because
Yes, I think that's what Vegas Soccer Mom is asking, but we'll take this to the next level. What are you thinking, Justin?
We'll take this to the next level, because what I'm thinking is, pending the FBI investigation,
mm-hmm,
depending on Arizona's consequences,
right,
what kind of repercussions are they going to get from the final part of the investigation?
NCAA's, right.
What is going to happen? Because once the FBI is done with it, it's all on the NCAA's
right,
hands. And NCAA, sometimes they're not too nice. And you could probably see a situation where Brandon Randolph might transfer.
Mm-hmm.
Emmanuel Aycott, they might transfer. Or both of them will end up going to play professional ball overseas.
Mm-hmm.
That seems to be the flavor of the month for a lot of players nowadays, is why take the college route? I'm going to go travel the world, mm-hmm, and make money off of playing basketball before I go to my final destination,
right,
call the NBA, and make my millions of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
That could be a situation. So
For one, and that of course would be presuming that Arizona and Buck Richards, that the NCAA comes down on Arizona and Buck Richards and finds them guilty of the FBI claims. But yeah, I mean that's the thing, is there's so much uncertainty right now, even with the class coming in. I mean, Arizona's class is too deep right now.
Should be
that
five.
I mean, that's there are plenty of teams. There are a handful of teams in the Pac-12 who have better recruiting classes coming in than Arizona. So there's a lot of question marks around this team going into next year. It's hard to kind of see, other than DeAndre Ayton, who's going to be leaving, what those moving pieces are going to be as far as one and dones. But just something to keep an eye on as we wind down in the 2017-18 season.
As far as NBA, DeAndre
Ayton's gone. Yeah, DeAndre Ayton's gone. This coming from Pastoro. Oh boy, I'm going to butcher this, so I'll exclude your Twitter handle and go OJ Newburn Sr. I can get your name out. When is Sean Miller going to stress offense rather than defense? Interesting question, because I think it needs to be the opposite. I mean, obviously, Sean Miller's always been a defensive guy.
Come on, OJ.
Sean Miller's always been a defensive guy, but their defense is so bad right now. They're the number one three-point shooting team in the Pac-12. Top two, I want to say, in overall offense. They're third in scoring offense. Their offense is fine. Defense, they're almost dead last in scoring defense. They are dead last in three-point defense. No, Cal is behind them. When Cal is the only team than you at something in the Pac-12, you're doing something wrong. Defense is Sean Miller's number one problem right now.
Cal, the team that averages 2,000 fans a game for a basketball game,
the only team worse than Arizona in defense in the Pac-12.
OJ, I don't know you, man. I don't know you, but you have to understand, if Sean Miller were to stress offense more instead of defense, Arizona would score 120 points a game, but they would also lose by 10.
which you could very well see in McGill this weekend. Sean Miller alluded to it. I mean, you could very well see games upwards in the 90s. So, I mean, Sean Miller's focus is always going to be on the defense. That's just the kind of coach he is. That's his mentality. That's his style. That's not going to change,
and
nor should it right now.
and when you're pretty much the best team in the Pac-12 offensively, you don't need to adjust offense. You need to focus on defense. Again, I hate to be this guy, you know, because I always get on the nerds of that get on.
You go into KenPom on here.
KenPom, and no, their adjusted efficiency is this. This is Arizona is ranked in adjusted offense. They are ranked number 7 in the country, and adjusted defense. Arizona, oh boy, would you look at that, 105.
Mm-hmm.
So if you need to address offense to get them to number 1, your defense is going to fall to number 120 because, put it in this perspective, if Sean Miller addressed more defense, look at the teams that Arizona is around for defensive rankings on KenPom. St. Mary's is ranked higher than them. Jacksonville State is ranked higher than them. Stephen F. Austin is ranked higher than them. Illinois Chicago is ranked higher than them.
And we're talking about them going up against Purdue.
DePaul is ranked higher than them. St. Bonaventure is ranked higher than them. Wagner, Northern Kentucky.
The list goes on.
It's just Georgia State. I mean,
defense is an issue.
Offense, that's going to be fine.
OJ Newburn Sr., at Pastor OJ. I got it out.
Pastor OJ.
Thanks for
tuning
in.
Appreciate you, man.
This one coming from Noah, our good friend Noah over from the Wildcat.
Oh, nice. Noah Eau-Claire?
Yes.
Nice.
Yes, sir. So, at this point right now, is DeAndre Ayton the number one pick in the NFL draft? NFL. He could be. He could be the number one pick in the NFL draft. Number one pick in the draft. I got NFL on the mind. Shout out to Nick Foles. Is he the number one pick in the draft? It's between him, Marvin Bagley from Duke. Trae Young is probably going to be in the discussion at the end of the year. DeAndre Ayton, in my mind, is the consensus number one pick. If you're looking for pure raw talent that's ready to play in the NBA tomorrow, I think DeAndre Ayton's number one.
Wrong.
You've been on the DeAndre Ayton train for number one all year. And now, then the one time I go,
Luka Doncic.
He's going to go number one, though.
That's my guy. That is my guy. The dude has sick handles. The dude is a straight baller. But, nah, I'm just playing. DeAndre didn't even do that.
When did you flip on me?
No. It also depends on what team has the pick.
Right.
Because if it's a team that already has a decent big, then they could probably get a guy like Bagley. The two teams that I could see DeAndre Ayton going number one to are the Magic, and this is where the Magic can finally get back their Dwight Howard kind of player, but I think DeAndre Ayton is going to be better than him and Aaron Gordon.
Yeah, him and Aaron Gordon.
Playing together.
Absurd.
And think of, and another team has another that I'm about to name has another Wildcat on it that has had probably the best rookie season any Arizona player has ever had, and that is the Chicago Bulls with Lauri Markkanen. Imagine that front court with Lauri Markkanen and DeAndre Ayton playing side by side.
Be filthy.
Chicago, if you have the number one overall pick, you know what to do.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, you can say them on any team. Any team that doesn't take DeAndre Ayton number one, what are you doing, right? I mean, what void are you addressing that DeAndre Ayton can't fill? I mean, obviously, unless you're going to a guard, but DeAndre Ayton, like I said, he's number one in overall raw talent that's ready for the NBA tomorrow. And
yesterday.
Yeah. 6 months ago. I'm looking at it right now. They got Doncic going number two to say which team's going to have him. It's got to. I'm just not seeing it. But, yeah, our pick would be DeAndre Ayton, number one. Has been all year. Might not be player of the year, but as far as NBA draft goes, DeAndre Ayton's the man.
Totally.
Pull up the other mailbag here. We got a couple more questions coming in on Twitter. Again, always feel free to hit us up at the Wildcaster. This one coming from at AZPest. Why can't Arizona play good defense? We've addressed this a little bit. It feels like an ongoing, as Justin said earlier, the ongoing narrative. Three-point defense has been a ridiculous issue for Sean Miller and the Wildcats all year. Bit them bad in Washington and Seattle. Several moments of that game where it seemed like Washington couldn't miss. And that's going to be Arizona's kryptonite right now, is teams that they face that have that kind of ability to get hot and they have a spark. Arizona's going to get beat in stretches of the game, and they're going to have to adjust and adapt and pound the ball to DeAndre Ayton. Alonzo Trier is going to have to stay hot. This late in the season, there's not going to be any major overhauls to this team anymore. It's pretty much, they are who they are, and they can get better in certain aspects, but I don't see them flipping a switch on defense the rest of the year, so they're going to have to learn how to play with it.
And when I watched their game against Washington, that loss last week, with the exception of Noah Dickerson, because Noah Dickerson just took it to
an animal.
Arizona gave up a lot of three-pointers. They really did. And think about it, that is the only reason why they lost. That is the reason why they lost. What was the final shot? A Dominic Green wide-open three-pointer, who Emmanuel Acott just kind of left chilling in the corner.
Perfect assist by DeAndre Ayton.
Oh, what a great
blocks, assist of the year.
Block assist.
Block assist.
A slock.
Yeah.
A slock of
DeAndre Ayton's nice slock.
But it went right to the hands of Dominic Green for a three-pointer. Even Sean Miller alluded to this, that this is an issue. Giving up a lot of three-point shots is a problem. When you have a short guard like Parker Jackson Cartwright, man, I feel bad. I feel like every time we bring up PJC in the podcast, we talk about his height. That is a problem. But PJC is a floor general. He knows how to get up and run whenever there's a loose ball or a steal. However, they got to be able to get those steals, and they don't.
Yeah.
So Parker's almost ineffective.
Mm-hmm.
Does Trier play good defense? If Trier play good defense,
is Alonzo Trier elite?
That's a good question. If Alonzo Trier played exceptional defense, if he was one of the most lockdown defenders in college basketball, he would be a front runner without a question for National Player of the Year. For the way he's scoring, and if he had the defensive numbers to prove it, he would be easily in front of National Player of the Year. However, he's not doing that, and now everybody in college basketball is wowed by Trae Young and his Steph Curry-like abilities. defense is just bad right now, specifically on the perimeter.
This coming from Jerome Glass at Jerome G52. What type of team would be a good matchup in the NCAAs? I'm going to go with teams. I mean, the matchup I want to see again, and this isn't for the Wildcats' sake and not one that Wildcat fans should anticipate or want to have in March down the stretch, but one that I would love to see is Arizona against Purdue again, just because, and again, it's not a good matchup for Arizona. I think Purdue is by far the better team. They're my favorite to win the national championship right now.
Good call.
But, yes, Purdue Boilermakers.
Boiler up.
I would love to see that matchup. It put into perspective how good this Arizona team is, or not good, in perspective to Purdue. Like I said, I think Purdue's playing some of the best basketball in the country right now. 22 straight wins. Might even be 23 by the time we get this podcast up. But 22 straight wins since they beat Arizona in November. Haven't lost since then. So,
wow.
22, now that I'm saying that, the 22 might not be right. They might have 22 wins overall. But they haven't lost since they beat Arizona. So this team is hot. I would love to see Arizona play them, if not just because it would let us know, is Arizona legit, you know? And I would love to see that. Justin, what matchups would be good for Arizona?
Ah, man, you took my answer, man. I was going to say Purdue as well. I would say Duke, but do they have anybody to match up on Bagley? Because Raleigh Alkins is too short.
Which you have to put Ayton on him?
Trier's too short.
Ira Lee. Even that's a matchup.
Ira Lee is nowhere ready to guard Marvin Bagley. No. So you would have to put DeAndre Ayton on Marvin Bagley.
Mm-hmm.
And even then, you're going to expect Marvin Bagley to take DeAndre Ayton out. And again, while Ayton is versatile enough to guard the perimeter, he hasn't done that really much all year long. He's an interior defender. That's what he is. That's where I would see a game that would really gauge Arizona where they're at defensively. But, I'm kind of stumped on that. Another team that I think is a sleeper team that it could match up really well with Arizona that could give them even more problems this year is St. Mary's. They have...
gave them fits last year.
They have Jock Landale coming back, who's a really good big. They pretty much have all their... I forgot one of their guys' name. He wears the rec specs and the headband. He looks like an All-American racquetball player. they're pretty good this year. And I could see them giving Arizona even bigger problems this time around. Those are the two teams that I really would like to see Arizona match up against.
By the way, that Purdue winning streak since a loss to Western Kentucky on November 23rd, beat Arizona the next day, won 19 straight. So Purdue's legit.
Is that like those things that you see at work in the break room where it's like this amount of days since an accident or something like that?
this amount of games since a Purdue loss.
Since
November 23rd, that's got to be, I mean...
Pre-Thanksgiving.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
One last question coming in here. Did we already get to that? Yes, we did. This one coming from Steve. You guys are killing me with names today. Steve Alguin. Why do our 7-foot big men go out beyond the 3-point line to quote-unquote hedge defend a guard and leave the paint area open for open opponent layups? This drives me crazy because our big guys don't defend the paint. What a waste of size and talent. A lot of fire in that tweet. I think Arizona guards inside, relative to Arizona defense, I think inside they're, I mean, obviously a lot better than they are on the perimeter. I mean, when Arizona gets beat, it's because they're getting beat from three-point land.
And I think what he's also talking about is Dušan Ristić can't really move on defense. His lateral movement is weird, but on offense he's great. His footwork on offense is amazing.
Right.
When defenders bring out DeAndre Ayton on the three-point line, that creates a lane. Because they're like, oh, I got to go one-on-one with Dušan Ristić? Great.
By the way, which Duke and Marvin Bagley would absolutely exercise.
Oh, totally. Absolutely.
They would welcome that matchup. Yeah.
And so when you have DeAndre Ayton coming out to the perimeter every now and then, it takes away a big body in the paint.
Right.
And that's why you're seeing DeAndre Ayton getting brought up, and then you see guards slashing or pick and rolls, which is for Saturday. Again, we're going to talk more about this in the following podcast. But on Saturday, look out for that, because Chimezie Metu for USC, for as athletic as he is going to be a guy that's going to catch a lot of lobs because of DeAndre Ayton stepping out of the paint and doing that quote-unquote hedge defense.
I mean, again, that's something that – that's just Sean Miller's defense. I mean, they're going to run the system Sean Miller's played here for since he got here. And that's not going to change. Like I said, there's not going to be any overhaul, huge, massive changes to this team, as much as they may be needed on defense. What they have right now is what they got and what they're going to go into March with. So they're going to have to improve on that. Obviously, they're going to have to find answers. Three-point shooting, I mean, like I said, once they face a team who has a spark and gets hot, it's going to be tough for Arizona to hang around with them. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I mean, obviously, when DeAndre Ayton comes outside, it's a problem. Teams notice that. They feast on it, especially good shooting teams who can also pound the ball inside. They take advantage of Arizona all the time, and those are the games Arizona struggles with, Washington, Colorado, those kind of games. But moving forward, obviously, Arizona's biggest problem is defending against a three-point shot, and if they can't figure that out, it's going to be a problem. I mean, not for as long as many fans would like, because they won't be playing that long.
Looking ahead to a future podcast, or a future podcast, we'll have OC Register, USC basketball beat writer, Joey Kaufman. Because that's going to be interesting, because this is the first Pac-12 opponent Arizona's faced this year where both teams are involved in that lovely FBI investigation that we were all talking about for a while now. That should be fun. I'm interested for that.
Looking forward to getting him on here on the show.
Absolutely. Again, don't forget to hit us up on Twitter. You can follow Dom and I on Twitter, but don't forget to follow the Wildcaster. Like us on Facebook, and like us on Instagram. We're more active on Instagram now. We're posting more photos, more videos. I think our last video was...
The DeBeer weightlifting
video. DeBeer weightlifting, yeah. A guy lifted a 155-pound barbell over his head with one arm.
It's as absurd as it sounds. Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's stupid. Sean Brown makes a good appearance. It's stupid. A good cameo.
It was pretty funny.
It's up everywhere. Go follow us. Check it out.
And we'll post more information about Mailbag. For Dom, I'm Justin. We'll see you next time.